Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s, and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and to think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I'll meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which has changed their lives forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known at the time, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life challenges. Today I'm speaking to Andy, who works at his church in Nottingham. He's a runner who experienced a head injury whilst running a half marathon. And in this episode, he talks about the challenges of that, but also about enjoying something with God. For Andy, that means running. For me and probably others, we have to find something else. So Andy, what does running mean to you?
When it comes to running, we have quite a complex relationship. It's something that at moments in my life has been the greatest of joys, something that I would really meet God in. I think we can think about the different moments that we meet God in, whether through prayer, whether through worship. For me, being outside and running and that feeling of freedom, which I know a lot of people wouldn't necessarily associate with running, but getting to that place where you're not really thinking about it, you're just going through the motions, I've really found that I can meet God in that and sense his presence as I'm running. And I think maybe it's helped my relationship with God at times, because it's not about what I can get out of it, it's just about being with him, doing something where I can just be with him. And I think that for me has been a significant part of my relationship with running, but there have been ups and downs, and it has been an interesting journey.
And have you always enjoyed running?
Yeah, I think my parents would certainly interject at this point and talk about me as a child running everywhere. There was this one time on a beach in Dorset where I'd said to my parents, like, can I just run? I just want to run. And they were like, yeah, absolutely fine. They said that classic thing that parents say, like, as long as you can still see us. And I just went flying down the beach and kept going and going and going and going. And my dad hit a point where he was like, he'd say he reckons I was about 3/4 of a mile down the beach at this point. He's going, I need to go and get him. He's not stopping. And I know what some people would say, rebellious child, but it was just something in me that just loved running. This continued beyond that and into my childhood. So whether it be that sports days or inter-school competitions, and as soon as my school launched a running club, I was all over that. And it was like, how far can I run? How much can I do this? And yeah, I think throughout my childhood, certainly been something that I found a lot of joy in.
So going back to that moment on the beach, obviously you've just said your dad was like, I should go get him. But how are you feeling?
I mean, I don't remember it, but what I do know is that feeling for me through my childhood of running, it was just something liberating about it. I'd probably go as far to say I felt like I was born to run. It was something that came so naturally to me. It felt like a thing that God had given me, something that I was good at, but just something that I could meet him in.
I was just thinking about how I'm not a natural born runner and how I don't think God gave me that gift.
And I think most people do look at runners as something might be wrong with you. Like, that's probably the question of like, why do you do this? And I get that. I get that. When you embrace pain as a key part of the activity, it's fair to ask the question.
So have you therefore been running since you were a child?
Yes. I've ran kind of in different seasons at different amounts. But yeah, I've been running for a long time. There was a moment which kind of threw a small spanner into the works with that. So around the age of 14, I was running a race and finished the race and then just got hit by this unbelievable chest pain. And there's a doctor there on the day, and we kind of pushed it to one side, which was all good. And it was like, carry on as you are. And then I had another situation not long after where I just simply got up from the dining room table and was hit again with this chest pain, knowing at this point something is badly wrong. The ambulance and the paramedics turned up and took me to hospital, and they did all the different investigations that they do. And I guess really simply what they discovered at this stage was that because, I mean, at that age, I was tall. I was like one of the biggest in my year, and I'd grown rapidly. And what they were basically saying to us was, okay, yes, you've had this growth, but there are parts of you internally that haven't grown at the same rate and you're putting them under pressure. And so their advice was quite clear. It was a case of saying, hey, maybe when you were around 18, you should have grown and developed to a point where actually being able to re-engage with running and sports is going to be okay. So facing this reality of something that I loved so much being pulled away from me and trying to figure out how to navigate that.
And how did you react and respond to that?
I think I didn't face the reality of how much that hurt and how hard that was. I kind of buried it and pushed it to one side and didn't process it. And it was a case of, there was a lot of hurt there for me. And I think instead of seeing it as, okay, well, when I'm 18, I'm going to be able to run again. The love of it just kind of got pulled out for me straight away. And it was like, there's this thing now associated with it that is a negative thing. And I think that had a bigger impact on me than I would have said at the time.
I think also when you're 14, 15, like 3 years feels like a massive like gap. Where right. Like now when like, well, my 30s, 3 years flies by. But I remember like being in school at 14, 15 and feeling like I was going to be there forever.
Yeah.
So that's always going to have been a challenge for you as well.
And in that sense, they may as well have said to me, you're never going to run again. That's how it feels. It's like, this isn't going to happen.
So I'm guessing there was a lot of joy when you got to about 18 and could start trying to run again.
There was. I think there was certainly part of me was tentative in the way that I was approaching it. But I remember going with my dad and he wanted to get me those shoes that I could get those running shoes on again and get back out there. And I certainly did do that. But something was missing. And I think because it had been pulled away in the way that it had, and because I hadn't processed it and just kind of buried it, that certainly was still having an impact on me. And it would be many years, really, that it took for me to really, really get that joy back. When we talked earlier about the freedom that I had in running, when I started back, it didn't feel like that. And it wasn't because running was hard and because of the pain and all those things. It was because of the hurt of how that it had been pulled away from me. And it was probably about 9 years that it took until I would say, okay, I'm actually just enjoying this again. I'm meeting God in this and finding the freedom that it is to run.
And how did you find God's presence in running?
Yeah, I think For me, it was finding him in a way that it wasn't going to be a place where I was going to be making demands and requests. It wasn't going to be a place where I was necessarily processing all the different things that were going on in life, but a sense of what could it look like for me just to have an environment where I just am with him, that God wouldn't be a means to an end, but would be a person that I could have a relationship with. And I think when you have great friends, there's something beautiful about just being able to be in the same place as each other, but not necessarily say or do anything specifically, but it's just about being together. And I think that's where I'd got to with running. And that's where I got back to with running around that time. It was a place where I was like, I can sense the peace and the presence of God. And as I found joy in it, I really believe that he found joy in me enjoying it. And for me, there was just something beautiful in that we could enjoy this together. The moments in life, the different things that bring us joy, that God can find that joy in it with us. And I think it really brings a different dynamic to your relationship then.
I definitely feel that too, that when you find joy in something, for me, not running, but I completely get it for you, that God is there with you and feels that joy with you. It's definitely his presence is felt more, I think, as well. I often have conversations with people about how they found God in despair. God is there with us in all of our emotions. So then at some point you decided to do a half marathon. So can you tell us about the Robin Hood half marathon?
Yeah, so I think we are going back to 2019. And at this point I'd been running, I'd got the joy back for running. And it was almost trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I do with this now? It would be great to achieve something. It would be great to outwork this in a way. And had always been aware of growing up in Nottingham that there was this Robin Hood half marathon. That's not a half marathon where you chase Robin Hood around the streets of Nottingham. It's just the name, but it is just a normal half marathon race around the streets of Nottingham. And I heard about this and I thought, what better way to use this kind of newfound joy and enjoyment that I'm finding in running. So I signed myself up. I downloaded the training plan and got straight into it. And I was having the time of my life, come rain or shine, out there running, getting ready for this race, and felt fantastic going into it.
I was going to add, I'm just a little disappointed that you didn't have the Robin Hood hats to run in. But maybe that's just me.
No, it has been done. A friend of mine actually did enter the Robin Hood Half Marathon dressed as Robin Hood, managed to get to the front of the race. And instead of running at a sensible pace like everybody else, he sprinted the first 100 metres. So there's this photograph of him right at the front of the Robin Hood Half Marathon, what looks like winning the race. What they don't see is a couple of 100 metres later, he would be right back with everybody else. So someone's tried it as Robin Hood.
Yeah, and you definitely have to pace yourself in a half marathon.
It's really encouraged.
I think when I did a half marathon, I made that mistake. I went a little bit too fast in my first mile, even though I'd done all the training and prepared myself. So I feel sympathy for your friend.
Absolutely.
So going back to your half marathon, we got slightly distracted. What do you remember about that day?
For me, it was almost a formality. It was like, this is going to be fine. This is, the training's gone absolutely brilliantly. And I found myself finding the pacer of who could pace my race at the pace that I was looking for. And quickly a group of us has kind of joined around this person. It was like, we all want to finish at a similar kind of time. And the race kicked off. And we began to run together. And there was actually just a real sense of kind of fun and banter. And I love telling stories and jokes. And so the pacer got me every single mile telling a different story or a different joke. So there was just like, I know a lot of people wouldn't associate having that amount of fun around running, but it really was. We were just enjoying going around the streets together and enjoying the race.
It was like you'd formed your own little community.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that I look back on that part of that day, and I'm like, I love that about running, that it will just bring people together in a moment and a sense of we're doing this, we're going to achieve this together.
And then what happened in the end?
Yeah, so I was coming up towards around about the 10-mile mark, and I'd looked down at my watch and had a conversation with the pacer as well to say, hey, this is it. We've not got far to go now. We're at the end. And he communicated to me, it's pretty flat here on in, and I'd looked down at my watch, and then the next thing that happened was I woke up and I was in the back of an ambulance. And it was a real surreal moment for me, because I think if I'd realized, if there'd been a moment where suddenly I woke up, that moment would make more sense. It would make more sense if that was just a nightmare or something that had happened. But for me, the journey of running and feeling so well and then opening my eyes and I'm in the back of an ambulance was incredibly confusing and scary. And what had happened in that moment was I'd had, whilst running, a blackout. I'd gone ragdoll and experienced a concussion that at that point would not be diagnosed and would go on to be something called post-concussion syndrome, which at my worst, I wasn't able to talk properly. I wouldn't have been able to tell you how old I was. I couldn't count. I couldn't wash myself. I couldn't dress myself. I was really in a bad way. And this moment would be the trigger for that.
That sounds incredibly scary for you, but also for family and friends as well.
Absolutely. Because they, moments before, probably about a mile before, I actually said to my friends, a couple of friends on the side of the road, I'd said, hey, call ahead to my wife and let her know that I'm going to finish at this time. I'm still with the pacer and they can expect me soon. And I think even though the head injury had really impacted my ability to process in this moment, one of the things I was so aware of was, okay, I don't know how I've got here. I don't know what's happened, but they're expecting me and I'm not going to turn up. And I was in and out of consciousness at that time. But that thought kept coming back to me and I kept saying to them, please just call them and let them know where I am. And the truth was, even though I could tell I was in the back of an ambulance, I didn't really know where I was or why I was in there. I had no understanding. The last I remember, I was fine. And this fear kind of gripped me of, I've just told my family and friends that I'm fine and I'm going to be there. And suddenly they're going to be looking for me amongst the thousands of people. And at some point come to this moment where they realize, He's not crossed the finish line. Where is he? And I knew nobody knew where I was.
And I'm guessing at some point they worked out where you were. And did they meet you in the ambulance?
So in the end, they took me to a medical tent, which was towards the finish line, which as a runner was this really confusing thing, because even though I should be focusing on how ill I was at the time and thoughts had gone through my mind of like, am I going to make it? What is this? Is this the end? Is this what this feels like and looks like? There was still also this other crazy thought of, I'm not going to get to finish this race. And that already at that point was hurting me. And it was only then they then drive you to what is next to the finish line, to the medical tents. And it was there that I saw my wife. And there was this challenge for me of like, I'm here. I'm so, so close to what I'd set out to do. And I was able to see her then. And when you see somebody's face, when you're not in a good way, sometimes that's reassuring. And it was in one sense, but also the shock on her face really showed me what kind of position that I was in that moment. And from there, they would take the two of us to the hospital where they would continue further investigations.
How do you start to recover from that?
Slowly. The physical journey was after about 3 months, I kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, my doctor will now let me go back to work. I shouldn't have gone back to work then in hindsight. And so the physical journey can take a couple of years really to overcome something like that. The mental recovery, in all honesty, I'm still working that through now. And I've come a long way with it and it's been hard. But here we are, yeah, many years on now. And that's still something that I have to continually navigate.
And how does God fit into that?
When I think about how I felt at the time lying in the back of the ambulance, the feeling I had was that I was all alone. It was the most alone that I've ever felt. But as time would go on, I would get this revelation that God was with me, that there'd be this moment I'd realize that as I looked back at that moment and that memory, that the way that I was perceiving it wasn't actually right. And that I had this revelation that God was present with me in the ambulance. I didn't necessarily sense him as I had in some moments and doing some moments, but that hadn't changed the reality that he was so present in that moment. And that actually changed that memory. That changed the way that I now look at that picture. Originally looking back at it as just me in that ambulance, but now knowing that God was there with me. And that as I think about that, it's incredibly reassuring. And I think it was a moment in my life where I was almost going to be saying, okay, this felt like the moment where God had abandoned me. But as time's gone on, I've realized, no, that wasn't the case. He was so present with me in that.
It's reminded me of that, of the story of the footprints, you know, with the guy that's looking back at his life, and he, for most of it, he sees like the two prints. He's walking down a beach, basically, yeah. And he has the two sets of footprints. And at the points, he goes to God, the points that were hardest, there's only one set of footprints. Mm. And it's then that God goes, yeah, because that's when I was carrying you.
Right.
And that your story is just reminding me of that, you felt alone in that moment, but God was actually there carrying you through it.
Absolutely. And I think that sense of realizing that just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that is the reality. And I think it's easy to be drawn into that feelings-based you approach things, but when you engage with it through faith, you can see that God is working through some of those darkest times.
So how do you feel about the fact if they had found your concussion earlier, you might have recovered quicker?
I think that actually has been really hard to journey, that there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in that for me, because going back to what we've talked about earlier, my childhood experience was I went into hospital, I was looked after really, really well, they diagnosed the problem, and although it was going to take years, I was on a path to recovery. I knew what I needed to do. Suddenly I found myself in this experience on that race day in 2019 where actually the hospital that day was overrun. They didn't have capacity for me to look after me in the way that was needed. The paramedics didn't pick up on the fact that I was presenting concussion symptoms. Had they, my journey could have been very different. I would then have gone home into a dark room and probably spent a few weeks doing next to nothing, but fast forwarding my recovery time rapidly. Instead, I would actually try and go back to work soon after, not knowing what had happened, and every single step of that making myself worse and worse and worse, to the point where they would say, hey, no, you need to come into hospital again for us to figure out what's going on here. Had they figured out what gone on originally, I wouldn't then need to be going back into hospital. But now going back into hospital with somebody who's now got post-concussion syndrome, they are actually some of the worst environments to be in. They're intense environments. There are noises, there are lights. There's all these things going on in that hospital environment that are making things in reality worse for you. So one of the journeys for me has been dealing with and processing that, processing the sense that something was missed that day. And there is absolutely a place where it's like, I need to release forgiveness in that so that I'm not holding that against people. And I have to trust God that even when it feels like mistakes were made, that he was going to make sure that I'd make that recovery.
So we now know that there's a more happier ending to the story in terms of you went back and did the race again in 2023. What did it mean to run that race?
For a while, I said I would never run again. I couldn't even look at a runner as they went past me on the side of a road. So it was quite a journey. But I think deep down, I knew I had to go again for myself. And I've even had a therapist say to me, oh no, you didn't have to. You don't have to run. And so changing that language to go, no, this is something that I want to do. And it was terrifying to think that I would have to go down those streets again. And almost a sense of, is it just going to happen again? We still don't know to this day why my body reacted that way. And so there was a real sense of, this could happen again. We can't say that it won't. But for me, the accident had felt like a full stop moment. It had felt like a moment where it was like, for my confidence, not just for running, for life. It was like, for me, a lot of like hope had been diminished in that moment. A sense of, I'm a public speaker and suddenly I can't string a sentence together. How on earth am I going to build that confidence again to stand in front of hundreds of people and be able to communicate? So there were things that quite quickly I was saying, I'm never going to do that again. Never going to run again. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to hold my job down. I'm not sure. And there was a lot of things I was saying, full stop, end of story. This is over. That's kind of how it felt for me. And I think I really, in reading the story of Jairus's daughter, there's this incredible moment where Jairus is with Jesus and he'd been pleading with Jesus to come to his daughter because she was really sick. And he was having to wait for different interruptions and different moments along the journey of having Jesus come and meet with his daughter. And on this journey, there comes this moment where these people come out of Jairus's house and they say, hey, Jairus, it's bad news. Your daughter is dead. And there's this moment that they're saying, full stop, it's over. And the story goes on and Jesus ends up going to this man's house and he raises this girl back to life. And for me, this story just absolutely incredible, because I think for me, and I think for many of us, we can relate to moments in life where we feel like our own thoughts or somebody else's thoughts are telling us it's over, it's done, full stop, game over. And that's how it felt for me when it came to running. It was done and it was over. And yet in this equation, in this story, we see that with Jesus present in that moment, that full stop moment actually becomes a comma. That actually the story's still being written, that it's not over. And I love that that story goes on. And that is the case. We see this incredible moment where this girl comes back to life. And I think for me, re-entering the Robin Hood Half Marathon was about that. It was about recognizing that that doesn't have to be a full stop moment. That with Jesus in the equation, there is hope and that there's an opportunity, that the story, I can never change what happened, but I can write a new chapter. And it was that opportunity to go, I want to write a new chapter. I don't want fear to be something that shapes my life. I don't want to make decisions based off what I think I can and can't do. I'd rather I want to include Jesus in the equation and say, hey, with you, what is possible? I started to think about my daughter who had then entered this world. And I was like, I want her to grow up in a world where when we have setbacks, and we talk about setbacks, this for me was like an almighty setback. But I want her to grow up in a world. And I was excited that one day I'd get to tell her a story. What could it look like if the story didn't end at that accident? And that actually another chapter was written. And that is what went on to happen as I re-entered that race. It was brutal. My heart rate was at over 180 for the entire race just because of the anxiety of being in that environment. And we chipped off mile by mile. And passing the part where I knew that I'd collapsed was really, really tough for me. But a sense of God's with me in this. He's carrying me through this. And that moment, crossing that finish line that day, going around the race, I never thought it was going to happen. Moments before getting to the finish line, I saw this guy and he began to collapse. And it was incredibly triggering for me to think. And I turned to my brother and my friend who I was running with, and I said to them, I can't do this. Bear in mind, at this point, I've reran the entire race. We can see the finish line. But such was this moment of seeing this person collapse. It was like, no, I actually can't. And they pushed me on. We pushed through and crossed that finish line. And for me, it wasn't just about running a half marathon. It wasn't just about finishing that race. It was really a moment of seeing what God can do in a situation. For me, it was saying, okay, over my life, when I hit those moments and it feels like it's all over, look, those full stop moments can become comma moments and God can continue to work in and through you.
Wow, that's really powerful. And the fact you saw someone have a similar experience to what you did as well at that finishing line I can't imagine how tough that was to experience. Did you find any of that joy that you had when you were a child, when you started running again? Or are you still working on that process?
Yeah, it wouldn't come that day, but I think without that day, it wasn't going to come. And so since then, I've continued running, and I've actually reran the half marathon now. I've ran it without that anxiety around every single step, which that alone is liberating. But since have continued the journey and found that joy that we talked about earlier again, that joy of just being out in nature and running and just knowing God is present with me in this, we can enjoy this together. Because when I restarted running after the accident, I felt like with every step, danger was one step closer to me. I felt like I was being chased. It was like a fear-driven run. So to go from there and find myself once again able to run and just hear the sound of the birds and sense the presence of God and be out and find that freedom and that sense of enjoying it again with God. I never thought that was going to be possible. That's a great miracle that's happened in my life.
I have a really important question. I don't know how old your daughter is. How old is she?
She's 3 and a bit.
Has she started running yet?
She does park run, and this is something that I've kind of built into my routine quite a lot, and she will come along to those, and she really wants to run with daddy, but not quite yet. I've seen people running around with buggies as well. That for me is just a whole different level. I'm not doing that. But when she's old enough, I can't wait to take her for a run and to let her enjoy that.
Yeah, because I'm just wondering if it's genetic. Do you like running? Because it's genetic.
Right. But
please do let us know about that as well. So what things do you wish you knew before it all had happened?
Yeah, I think, and we've touched on a few of the points, but I think I wish I understood that idea that there are going to be moments in your life which feel like and present you with some facts that would make you feel like it's all over. You're going to hit moments where you feel like there's no hope left in this situation. I would have loved to have known that when you hit those moments with God in the equation, there's going to be hope. I think I wish I maybe would have been more aware of this idea that we're not always going to sense the presence of God. We're not always going to know that he's there based off a feeling. But actually, in reality, we're going to know by faith that he's present with us in those moments. And yeah, for me, I think him being present always meant that everything would be worked out and sorted and go the way that I saw it. And I think through that story, I'm like, the learner for me is that actually, no, I don't always know how it's going to work out or when, and it might not be in my time frame, but to know that God is working even when we don't see it, even when I don't realize on day that I'm making progress, God was working in that situation.
When you told us about that full stop moment that you turned it into a comma, I had this real feeling of what the disciples must have felt like when Jesus died on Good Friday. Because at that point, they must have thought it's all over. Like what they'd been living for the last 3 years was done. And then obviously we know that we had the resurrection. And so that comma is definitely comes into place, which I'm sure the disciples were very grateful for. But what are you most grateful for?
I think I'm really grateful that through the story that you share there, that there is hope because of what Jesus did both through his death and through his resurrection. One of the things I love about the powerful gospel, the good news of Jesus that you've just shared there, I think, is that there is that moment that we can relate to of, yeah, actually, there was a dark moment. There was a dark moment for those disciples. And we can't tell the gospel without talking about the resurrection. When we hit these challenges, yes, people around us, we might see that there's no hope in that. But because of Jesus, we are able to experience that hope. And so I'm just so grateful for Jesus. I'm so grateful that for myself right now today, I continue to put my hope in him. I'm able to do that and have a growing confidence that no matter what life may present, we can keep walking this walk, running this race with Jesus.
Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this episode is going to change the way I consider the impact that God has in my life. When Andy was talking about enjoying something with God, I'm now thinking about what do I enjoy and how can I enjoy that with God? How about you? We'd love to hear how Andy's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out about this theme and others at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll be able to join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.